I really have a word on my heart today that I think is going to transform your lives. And it's not my word, it's God's word, right? So I can confidently say that. I wondered, you know, speaking about the land of milk and honey, I think we've had 3 weeks of really powerful words about what it means to live in the land of milk and honey, lending the sort of topic from Joshua as he leads the Israelites into this land flowing with milk and honey. And today we're going to pick the story up in Joshua 5. But before we get there, I wanted to just make a few statements. The first one is, you know that the land of milk and honey is no longer there where Joshua went. The land of milk and honey has come to us, right? Jesus came to us. He made his dwelling amongst us. So no, actually, the land of milk and honey is here. But what God showed me that has been resting on my heart for a few weeks is that some of us, so the land of milk and honey, we could call salvation. But some of us are living in salvation, but from fear. You're living in salvation, but from insecurity. Maybe you're living in salvation, but from bondage to slavery or to some sin that overcomes you. So you're worshiping, but you're not free. And that's what God has really pressed on my heart. And I want to minister to that today. Today I'll bring good news because I want to talk about where we live from. You see, the land of milk and honey, if we can have the first quote up on the wall, the land of milk and honey is a spiritual place we live from, not a geographical place we live in, right? It's a spiritual place we're living from. We're not living in it. So today, I want us to reposition ourselves. You see, I want to teach us how to live from the right place while we're in salvation. An internal repositioning, you need to live from the right place if you want to get to the right place. Amen? Amen. And that means living in fullness of the joy of your salvation. Some of us have salvation, but not the fullness of the joy of our salvation. Do you want fullness? Amen? Okay, well, let's get right into it. Well, I wanted to ask where you come from. Where do you come from? Well, it's an interesting question, isn't it? Some people's reaction when you tell them where you come from. Like if I say to somebody, hey, Vince, where you come from? And I say, I come from the GQ or Klebs. And then they go, sorry, what? Then I come from PE. And then I go, okay, you're a Portland. You'll get used to it, everybody. It's the GQ. Or maybe you meet somebody who comes from a really, really grand city. I'm from Paris. And you go, wow, you come from Paris. Or maybe it's not where we come from geographically. Maybe it's a different thing. When somebody says something in a meeting that was unexpected, you go, ooh, where did that come from? Or when you as a husband lash out in anger, then you go, oh, where did that come from? Where do things come from in your hearts and in your soul? You see, where we come from geographically matters. Imagine how vital it is where we're coming from our inner man, our soul. Where are you coming from relating to your work? Is it, or is work a blessing? Where are you coming from about some of the relationships in your life? Is it, oh my goodness, I need new this or new that? Where are you coming from relating to your finances? Where are you coming from? How are you approaching the world? Perhaps we all need a relocation where we're coming from. And today it's my duty to show where believers are to come from as we go out into the world. So I'm going to tell you what my job is today. If you had to ask me if I'm walking around in checkers, hey, Vincent, when you're leading worship or if you're preaching, what's your job? I say my job is to unleash you in the world so that this present darkness trembles where you go. So that when you go out into the world, if I can have some slides up, what happens with the forces of evil? Are they saying, here comes Vince. He lives from a place of worship and praise. He lives from a place of victory. We better get out the way. Or are they saying, here comes Vince. He lives from a place of insecurity and lack and selfishness. It'll be easy to get him out the way. What are they saying? Because that depends on where you're coming from. I think believers are to be unleashed into the world, to show the glory of God, and to live from one degree of victory to another, and to have fullness. Amen? So where do you come from? The land of milk and honey is not a nice house and a nice car. It's a place where you're living from while you're in your car or in your house. It's not the right person you pick. It's the place you live from with the person you pick to live with. Amen? It's not to be a lawyer, to be an accountant, or to be a teacher, but it's where you're living from when you go to work that really matters. Maybe you counted yourself out from fullness. Maybe you said, you know, I come from the wrong side of town, Vince. I come from a history of mental illness, Vince. I come from a history of abusive relationships, Vince. That's not for me. I come from divorce, Vince. I can't have this fullness. I think I count myself out. Let's go a little bit deeper on that one. Maybe the enemy is telling you where you come from. You come from a place of sin. This is what the enemy is telling you, right? I'm identifying his voice in your life, if I may. You come from a mistake. You should be ashamed. Look what you did. Look where you come from. You come from failure, man. Lies. I break all those lies in Jesus' name when I hear them. You got to know what he sounds like, because he's going to tell you come from somewhere where you don't actually come from. Amen? Yeah. I want to teach us today how to live from the right place. I have to say that I must look at the clock. Is it customary in this building? Sort of feel the overwhelming shadow of the clock sitting on top. Look at me. You know, I'm sorry if some of it sounded quite sharp, but sometimes I know that coming from a place of praise is really difficult, but it is good. Coming from a place of praise is not easy. Some of you might be cynical, coming from a place of cynical nature about church. Some of you are coming from a place where you're about to give up on God, or you already have given up on God, or just doing things his way. You're doing it your way now. It's difficult to come from a place of praise. I know. Luckily, we have a high priest called Jesus who is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but was tested and tried in every single way. Have you lost a friend? Jesus knows where you're coming from. He lost John the Baptist. Have you been tempted? Jesus knows where you're coming from. He was tempted in every way. Have you been forsaken? My God. He has been forsaken. He knows where you're coming from. Have you been betrayed for money in business? He knows where you're coming from, right? He knows where you're coming from. It's important to acknowledge that where we come from is very, very important. I had a friend who was very negative about our country many years ago. And he said to me, it's terrible. Ah, man, last year is awful. I don't like it. I want to go somewhere else. And I said to him, listen, friend, I won't say his name. I said, before you go, can I stop being your friend and just say one pastorish thing for you in your life? I said, have you maybe just considered, maybe, that you're coming from a place of cynicism? And it's not the environment that is sick. Perhaps you are. What makes you think, if you're not blessed here, what makes you think you'll be blessed somewhere else? What makes you, if you're cynical here, I think you'll be cynical anyway. In this job or that job, in this home, with that person or this person. If that's where you're coming from, that's what will go in front of you. It's a tragedy. I want to read from Joshua 5, verse 13 to 15. So while it's on the screen, some context. Joshua has just been handed the reins. Moses is retired. Joshua steps in. I was the guy, Joshua, who went into the land as one of the spies. And I was one of the two who said, yes, we got to do it. Myself and my mate, Caleb, we believed. And here he is, right? He came from a place of praise years before. And look now, is entering the promised land. And just before they meet, we meet this Joshua 5 moment, God had dried up the Jordan River. Sounds much like parting of the Red Sea, right? God's always doing something. Let's see what he's doing here. Joshua 5 verse 13 says, "Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Then Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' And he said, 'No.'" What kind of an answer is that? "Neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Even Joshua was like, "Hey, where are you coming from?" "I come from heaven." "Okay." "Ooh, sorry." You know, when you speak ugly to somebody at a business and you realize it's the boss, and you're like, "Ooh, jammer meneer. Sorry, I didn't know it was you." You're like, "But you shouldn't speak to anyone like that." I wanted to talk to you about three places of praise and what a place of praise looks like and how you can come from a place of praise in your life and what that will do for you. Firstly, praise, a place of praise looks like trust. A place of praise looks like trust. You see how Joshua instantly trusted this warrior, this commander of the army of the Lord? Just like that, trusted him. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." Have you ever seen stepping stones over a river? The young adults went for an amazing hike. There were almost 90 young adults on a hike through the valley yesterday. I think that's worth a celebrate. Amen? But have you ever seen stepping stones over a river? Some of them are a little bit but some of them are firm. And the commander of the army of the Lord is going ahead of you and he's saying, "Trust me, this one." "This one?" "Yes, this one." "Okay, this one." "The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord." "They're ordered." "This one?" "That one's good." "This one's good over here." "That one's good over there." "Yeah, amen." "This one?" "This one?" That's where I wanted to maybe, Michael, can you come help me? I want to ask Michael to help me. Michael, I want you, thanks Michael, happy birthday. Michael, you're going to be the Lord. Okay. Don't get carried away. But you see, the commander of the army of the Lord was already there. Hello. He went ahead of Joshua. So, you know, he goes before us. "So lead me over these stepping stones here, Lord. Lead me over this way." "Which one next?" "That one over there." "Hold on. I see over there there's what? I see there's worry over there. It's 2 o'clock at night. I can't sleep and I'm worrying. I need to step on worry. I'm ashamed of some of the things I did. Condemnation. I need to debase myself. No, because I'm guilty, Lord. Then, you know, we can, where are you going when you do that? Nowhere. You see, even if I try to all the time, are you getting tired? God won't get tired, but you know who will get tired? You will grow weary. Thank you, Michael. You will grow weary. And you'll say, "Oh, this Christian thing is not for me, man. I'm growing weary. This church thing is not for me." You see, what happens when our steps are ordered by the, "Yes, my commander-in-chief. Yes, my commander-in-chief, I see that one. Step here, Vin, step on this. I know times are difficult. Step on prayer. Prayer, step on prayer. Stay on prayer for a bit, Vincent. It's good for you to step onto prayer. Stay there for a bit. Okay, yes, my commander. Yes, I'm with you. Yes, you go before me. Which one next? Maybe giving. No, can I skip, please? Can I? I'm sure I can. No, I need you. Vincent, do you want fullness? Do you want fullness? Yes, Lord, I want fullness. Trust me. Okay, I did it. I trust you, Lord. I see you're leading me. You're leading me to fullness. I'm in salvation. He's got me right. I'm in salvation, but I'm no longer living from worry. I see that one. I know that one's not good for me. And pretty soon, you're walking and not growing weary. You're running and not growing faint. I know that one. This one over here, I can... And that's what it means to take ground away from the enemy, worthless. Here's the good ground. That's what it means to live from strength to strength, victory to victory, glory to glory. Every step is a powerful weapon. Every time I step, it's because he goes before me. Will you trust him today? Will you trust his word, Stanley? Sometimes I know where some of you are at today, and I know some of you personally. You're standing. Lord, I can't hear you. I can't hear. I don't feel anything in worship anymore so much. I can't hear. We've lost a friend, Lord. We've lost a family member. I can't hear. Jesus, stay right there. Things will clear up. Stay right there. Stay on prayer. Lord, I don't know, am I saved? Am I really saved if I did such terrible things? Hey, stay right there, Vince, on the assurance of my salvation. My love never fails, never gives up on you, never gives up. Okay, I'll stay here. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Wait for the next step as well, right? Them who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall... rise up on wings like eagles. I'll wait for the next one. I'm not going to take shortcuts. There's a shortcut over there. It's called My Way. Frank Sinatra on that stone. And God's saying, hey, whoa. The Frank stone is out of bounds. You want to take the Frank stone? I'm sorry, you'll never have fullness. My way. I did it my way. God, your time is taking a bit long, God. I don't see any prophets. God, I don't see any. We don't have children yet, Lord. How long will this take now? I'm going to go my way. Is that okay? You're going to grow weary, Vince, but let me just try my way just for a month. And you know what? He won't let your foot slip, but his righteous right arm will uphold you, it says. But do you want to live a life just being held? Or do you want to live a life of fullness? That's what we're talking about today. You know, there's a room in my house where Nova was when she was a baby, with a black cot in it and a couch. And now Vida's in that room. But you know, before we had children, we prayed for 8 years to have children. And that was the room where I used to go down on my knees just to worship. I close the door and Charisse would do whatever. And I just worship there. It was a place of praise for me. You know, I can't even remember what was in that room before I had children in that room. But I remember it was a place of praise. And your places of praise will become places of prosperity and blessing. And you won't even remember what it was like before it was full. Yeah, what was life like before I had this fullness of the joy of my salvation? You know, my living room the same. Before we had children, Charisse would go out. That would be the place where I sit down in the middle of the living room and either write some things in the side of my Bible or in a notebook. And now I lie on my back, my children jumping all over me. And I'm living in the fullness of the joy of the things that I never even knew could be so beautiful. Because that was a place of praise. Last one, this stage, very stage here, I used to lead worship on borrowed instruments. I was praising, but I was borrowing. No problem. And this same place where I was praising but borrowing was a place where I was anonymously handed the instrument of my dreams worth more than I can ever even afford. And a place of praise became a place of just trust in me and I'll lead you to fullness and I'll show you my glory. I'll show you my promises over you are secure. I have good plans for you, says the Lord. So... I tell you the stories because if the praise goes before you, the testimony will come behind you. There where you praise is there where you prosper. Praise is what we put our eyes on. What are you putting your eyes on? Praise is what we take delight in, what we trust. Where our eyes go, we go. Did you see earlier? I wasn't keeping my eyes on the Lord. But when my eyes are fixed, can you see that what I fix my eyes on is automatically what I trust? It's just what I trust. Who is your commander in chief? Who do you trust? I look to Jesus. He goes before me. He leads me as my commander in chief. He does it well, and he leads me to fullness. I've seen it. Places of praise looks like trust, saying, I trust you, my commander in chief. Secondly, a place of praise looks like surrender. The passage of scripture, verse 14 says, what message does my Lord have for his servant? What message do you have for me? I surrender. Tell me what I must do. You see, now this is a very important quote. Surrender is not saying to God, hey, God, come do my thing. Surrender is saying, God, I want to get in on what you're doing. How can I get in on what God's doing? Not how can I get God in on what I'm doing? That's Frank Sinatra's own. Hey, God, can we not rather, then who's God? Right? Or can we not rather do it this way or that way? Then you're leading, then you have to make the way, and you have to carry yourself into the land of fullness. The problem is, it won't happen. You might think you're amazing at some things. Some things only Jesus can lead us to, and that is fullness. Surrender means that someone or something goes before you, leading you. And if you're coming from a place of victory, then he again goes before you and prepares another. You might be in a place of difficulty in your marriage, but we come from a place of, with God, all things are possible. I surrender, yes, to your ways. When the world invites you to spend your money in many different ways, you can say to them, listen, not where I come from. Where I come from, the first part is holy, and it makes the rest holy. You could do your thing. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a place of surrendering my finances. I'm coming from a place of surrendering even my knowledge or my own plans. I surrender every single thing in my life to the lordship of the commander in chief. And he tells me how to utilize them. Heavens, use your money like this. Okay, like that one. Trust in my word. Trust in my, can you see how it happens? You have to be able to surrender if you want to be led to fullness. When you surrender to the commander-in-chief, you have his strength on your side as well. Because if you don't surrender to him, you are the strongest one. I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty weak. I have struggles in my personality, in my character. I need somebody way stronger than me so that I can reach fullness, way stronger. So I trust in him, I surrender. And because he goes before me, I've got a mighty warrior in front of me. I'm assured of victory. Can you see, even when Joshua went into the land of Canaan, into Jericho, he didn't say to them, take out your swords. He said, praise. Because when you have the commander in chief going ahead of you, he'll use other things that he can use. He made the sun stand still. He made hail come from the sky. He made food appear in the wilderness. You've got your commander in chief going ahead of you. He makes the sun stand still. You've got his power on your side. Amen. But if you're going your own way, you've got you. And I know that you're amazing and you've got some amazing things inside of you. Imagine if it's ordered correctly by the greatest commander in chief of all. Would you surrender today? Praise. A place of praise looks like surrender. And lastly, a place of praise looks like delightful obedience. He said, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Do you know that there are different kinds of obedience? There's the kind of obedience where you ask your child to do something and they go, sliding off the couch. Okay. But first, can I just first go do this? Can I first watch another? And then there's another kind of obedience. Yes. I'm coming. Yes. Delightful obedience. Beginning of last year, I started writing a little book on joy. And I got to 9 different ways of how to cultivate joy in your life, and I realized something's missing. I thought joy is only a fruit, but you know what? It's not only a fruit that fruit of the Spirit, something that you work at and that shows up in your life. It's also something that we do dutifully, obediently, we rejoice. Look at the text. John 15:11 says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete or full. Your joy might be full. What did Jesus say before that? John 15 is about stay plugged into me. I am the vine. Stay in my love. I am the vine. You are the branch. Can you see that? Delightful obedience leads to fullness of joy. Not so that you could be saved, but so that you could be full. I'm going to share another scripture, and I'm afraid I don't have something big enough to hide behind. I thought there'd be a lectern or something here, but I need to hide, and I think God like put it on my heart. I've got big question marks here next to the scripture. It's Deuteronomy 28 verse 47, and then it ends in verse 48. But I'm going to read it, and I'll hide. Is that okay? If you want to throw rocks at me. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart, therefore you shall serve your enemies. Delight in me, and I'll order your steps. Delight, delight. It's a thing God is asking us to do. Because not only does it glorify Him, but it completes us. It completes us. He's not needy to ask for your praise. He's good to ask for your praise. That we delightfully obey in Him. It's a hectic scripture, but let's be honest. If He's not leading you, you're serving something else. You're serving your own way. You're going Frank's way. You're franking. I don't know if that's a word. But, you know, and I've spoken to too many people who've done that. You know, Satan can't steal your salvation, but he can steal you of the joy, rob you of the joy of your salvation, right? So where do you come from? Let me give you the best place to come from. Trust, surrender, and dutifully, delightfully obey in the Lord. Trust and praise. Praise looks like obedience. To conclude, and I'm going to ask Nesta to come help me for the conclusion of this message. Praise and delight is the key to fullness of life. If you want fullness, you got to praise. I wonder, with Christmas coming up, have you ever eaten so much? Yes, the answer is yes, isn't it? You're like, oh, I can't eat anymore. But 2 hours later, you're at the fridge. What's in here? Sorry. So it's not just me. Trifle. Trifle. My mother-in-law's trifle. She makes a whole one just for me every year. No, I'm not lying. We have a bowl that we take out just at Christmas for the trifle. But you know what this leads to? To be full. When worry comes, you say, oh, sorry, man, I'm already full. I don't need any worry in my life. Full, man. Sorry, I don't need to be insecure. I'm full. Sorry, I'm full of confidence in the one who loves me. Hey. When those things come along, you go, thanks, but no thanks. When Frank Sinatra's way comes, you go, thanks, but no thanks. I'm full. Sorry, I already ate at devotions this morning, and I'm pretty full. I don't need your applause. I don't need your, hey man, you're amazing. I got it from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I got it from my Savior. I'm full. I don't need it. I lack no good thing. He has given me all I need for life and godliness. He has supplied every single need according to His riches in glory, the glorious treasures of the person of Christ. His word lives in me. I have what I need. My hand is secure. My feet are secure. I'm trusting. I'm surrendering. And I joyfully obey. trusting, surrendering, and joyfully obey, and you will be full. Do you know what this is all about? I want to invite you into living a life of contentment. That's what fullness is. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Oh, Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Forever, forever enough. More than enough, more than enough. Forever you are, forever. Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised. You are our commander in chief. We trust you. We surrender to you. And we delight in your word today. Lord, we know that if we live from a place of trusting you for victory in our circumstance, it will come. And today we want to say that we live from a place of surrender in the finished work of Jesus. In your finished work, we surrender, Lord. In a world of trouble, we look to you. We live from a place of delightful obedience, Lord. In a world that is broken, full of entropy, we joyfully delight so that we might be a light unto others, a light unto men. Father, we know that praise is the highway to the land of milk and honey. Praise is the highway to fullness of joy, fullness of peace. And we thank you for that, that it is all given to us through your Son, through your perfect Son who loves us and gave himself up for us. In Jesus' perfect and holy name we pray together. Amen. Amen. Father's house, would you give the Lord just a shout of praise? Father, we worship you.